Blog Talk Radio.
Where's my allergist? Some of y'all run down here to the front real quick. I gotta know who's in the building. Where's my allergist? I need y'all to run down here. Come on, let me see you.
Oh,
my pain, y'all. Goodbye to my trouble. Goodbye to my trouble. Goodbye to me. You ain't welcome here. Goodbye to me.
Today, but I believe that all things are possible to them that believe in the word of God. I believe God is working out things for your good. He's taking the bitter and making it sweet. That that meant bad for you is becoming good. I thank God today that he is so awesome. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis B., the apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly are happy to have each and every one of you all today. I'm just excited about the word of God. I'm excited how God doing things on time. He is an on-time God. You have to know that. Hallelujah. It's nothing by accident. Everything God doing is for your good. He's purposely doing it for your good. So we're going to have a word of prayer here. And Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart because your word says in everything give thanks. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for those that will listen. I thank you for those that will adhere to your word today, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you are a healing God. You are a God that quick for mercy and slow to anger. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you don't hold things against us. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for right now that the veil is going through, that we lift her before you as she make visits, Father God, that to the doctors and wherever, that she'll get a clean board of health. She'll get a clean bill of health. I'm sorry. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it's all is well with her. I thank you, Father God, for Evangelist Sharon, that you're going to give her the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom she needs, Father God, to go through her hour of bereavement. I thank you, Father God, for those that are praying for her and being supportive of her. Father God, I thank you right now for Evangelist Renee, who have decreed and declared that by your stripes she is healed. I thank you, Father God, that she's walking in her healing. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for Sister Roper, Father God, who went and did a minor surgery today. But, Father God, we're going to continue to call it minor because we know that the doctors diagnosed the case, and we know that nurses administer the medicine. But, hallelujah, Father God, you do the healing. We ask you to heal, Father God. Heal the broken hearts right now, Father God. Heal the bodies that are asking, Father God, right now. Father God, we ask for a healing for our nation, Father God. We pray right now, Father God, for the president of these United States. We pray, Father God, for the world leaders, Father God. We pray that you'll heal those broken hearts. We also, Father God, we pray for healing for the people down in New Orleans, Father God. We know you're still a miracle God. You still are working miracles. And your scripture says, Father God, that in Colossians 1:21-22, sickness and disease have you no power. But Father God, I thank you right now that you're the God that are forgiving of all of these things. And you are the God who, Father God, who are able to raise the dead. You're able to tell the moon to be still and it'll obey your voice. So Father God, we know that Jesus bore our sin. He bore our sickness on a tree. According to the word of God, Father, Jesus died for it. He bore our sickness and he carried our pain. Father God, teach us right now how to give that pain to the Lord. Your word says, therefore I give no place to sickness or to pain. For we know, Father God, you sent your word to heal us according to Psalm 107:20. So I just decree it and declare it right now because you are a strong God. You are a God who look beyond our faults and see our needs. And I thank you. I thank you, Father God, you've done that. Thank you, Father God, that you'll teach Congress to start praying a righteous prayer for the whole nation. Father God, I pray right now that they'll come to realize, Father God, that they have a responsibility to pray for America as our leader. So, Lord, we're asking you right now to let them realize, Father God, the need for prayer for this nation. So as we begin to heal, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you will fulfill this task in their lives. Let them know, Father God, we're dependent on them to look to you for help. We're dependent on you, Father God, and we're dependent on them to look to you, Father God, for help. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that will be part of this broadcast and will get a word today. Father God, these blessings and all I ask in Christ's name and for his sake, we pray. Amen and amen. And thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, we've gotten kind of thrown off track a little bit, but not really. I say that because things hadn't been the norm. But let me tell you right now, everything been on track. It just hadn't been the way we thought they were going to be. But I thank God that they are what they are. Hallelujah. We're talking about a new creation. Hallelujah. We're talking about the new. And to understand the new, you have to know truth. And the truth of the matter, the old is gone. You may not realize it, but it's gone. The Bible says it's gone. And that's what we're going to start with. We're going to start with truth. The truth of the matter, in order to believe in the new, you have to know that the old is gone. And it didn't just start. It was prophesied. Isaiah said in Isaiah 2:18, and Pastor Bell, she probably join us later if she gets the doctor office in time. I'm only relating what was said to me. Hallelujah. But in Isaiah, hallelujah. But I said in Isaiah, 2:18. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. See, all this idol worshiping God, when you think of idols, don't think of somebody with a piece of wood they done carved. That's not idols, people. Anything you worship will utterly be abolished, okay? Isaiah 51:6 says, lift up your eyes to the heaven and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like the smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Well, why is that so important? Because you have to know, brothers and sisters, God have decided to do a new thing. He has a new covenant. And it's not going anywhere, because he's putting the righteousness now in the lining of our hearts. That's what I want you to know. He done away with the old. That's what the Bible says. He done away with it. Matter of fact, he said he's going to do it in all the dwelling places. I like what Ezekiel said over there in Ezekiel 6:6. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars, where's your altars at? Think about that. Underline that. Your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cast, and your image may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And just for a moment, just to make sure we understand it, that word abolish really get deep in the Hebrew, but with the Greek, it means something that has been put to an end, like a system, the practice of like an institution. It's been annihilated. It's been done away with. It's been abolished. The former thing, it's been done away with, brothers and sisters. And I want you to know that. I want you to know it's been abolished. It's been done away with. Hallelujah. So therefore, God allow us to have the new now. So remember how important that is, that he's abolished that. Remember what Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians 3:13, he said, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel shall not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. Done away with it. We'll go back to 2 Corinthians 13, but I'm thinking about Ephesians 2:15 that says, and having abolished his flesh, the enemy, even the law of commandment contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man. There it is, new man. So making peace, hallelujah. He had to abolish everything, got rid of it, made it null and void, like disable it. I like the idea that he got shed of it. That's what the old folks say down in Georgia. He got shed of it. You can't even see it now. But in 2 Corinthians 3:13, I'm going to ask Pastor to read that at the Messenger Bible, if she would.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:13. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice the glory fading away, and they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it today, when the proclamation of that old bankrupt government are read out. They can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Amen.
Did you hear that one, huh? Oh. Did you hear that one? Let's read that again, Pastor, the Messenger Bible.
Okay. He wore, let me go up a little bit further. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away, and they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamation of old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Amen, amen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You see, Christ became our veil, now his body.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, we'd be just like the children of Israel. You'd be terrified. Man, if you saw Christ in his glory, it would terrify you.
Mm-hmm.
You would be not only speechless, you'd probably be as dead as they come. Because when Moses came down off Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, the Bible says his face was glowing from being in God's presence. Now, remember what Christ said. Christ is at the right-hand side of the Father. And that's over there in Exodus 34:29-35 about Moses, for those that may keep keeping notes, about Moses when he came down. So Moses had to put on his veil to keep the people from being terrified, pretty much, by the brightness of his face. So Paul adds to this that this veil kept them from seeing the radiance that was fading away. There's people right now. They don't know that the organized church is fading away. They don't see it. They don't see it. They still going in there, having a good time, the music, da-da-da-da-da. Listen, brothers and sisters, play church is over, okay? Just plain and simple. God doing a new thing. He called you to be the church. He's doing this new and true. Why do you think he said, Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, why does just, and he says that the old things are passed away. That's the part I like. Just put a pin with the new. But how about the old? When is it going to pass away?
All right.
It has to pass away. That way, all things, not some things, all things will become new. And shall all things be of God now. So this is the God stuff. Our birth. We have a new birth. Remember, it was, what was that? The old Adam, when he came, the old Adam could only bring forth, really, when I think about it, the old Adam, I want to say that's in 1 Corinthians. Let's go over there and look, Pastor. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, remember what the old Adam did? Huh? 1 Corinthians 15:45.
I was getting ready to read it, Pastor.
And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last was made a quickening spiritual. How be it, I'm going to read 46 too, how be it that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God. Amen. From the Message Bible, we follow this sequence in Scripture. The first Adam received life. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Physical life comes first, then spiritual, a firm base shaped from the earth, a final completion coming out of heaven. The first man was made out of the earth, and people since then are earthly. The second man was made out of heaven, and people now can be heavenly. Amen.
See, people now can be heavenly.
Yeah.
You got to see that. The first man, Adam, was about the physical. I mean, it was a plane. Yeah. It was physical body. It comes back to life now as a spiritual body. As there is a physical body, so there is also a spiritual body. Ooh, I'm not going to say that again.
Amen.
This is what the scripture says. The Bible said this is what the scripture said. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Christ give life to your spirit, man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that? So we don't have to serve the flesh. We don't have to serve the natural. We serve the spirit with our spirit.
Amen.
That's what you pay homage to, is your spirit man. The spiritual does not come first, but the physical and then the spiritual. Because the first man was made from the dust of the earth.
Yes.
He came from the earth. The second man came from heaven itself. That's where he came from. He came from heaven. He disrobed himself of divinity. He put on the spirit of a man. Came to earth. Did what he was supposed to do. Died like a man. Lived like a man. Got up like a man. Cried like a man at Lazarus' grave. He did all man stuff. When he went to sleep at the bottom of the deck, like a man would go to sleep, he went to sleep, and they woke him up, just like you'd wake up another man. They woke him up and told him, Father, Jesus, you care that we perish or not? Jesus stood up like a man and said, you are no faith. One of them said, you a little faith. Got up, out from his cot, went to the top of the ship. One theologian said he stretched his arm because when you wake up, sometimes you want to stretch. Then he speak to the wind, and the Bible says he rebuked the wind and told the sea to be calm. There was no need to rebuke it. You see, because he realized where the trouble came from. The trouble came from the wind. So he went on and rebuked the wind and told the sea, peace be still. I don't know if anybody hearing me today, but somebody got to tell some stuff, peace be still. Some things you got to rebuke. But some things you got to just say, peace be still.
Amen. Say it now. Amen.
And he went on back to glory. Sit down at the right-hand side of the Father. Some theologians said he took his rightful place again, back at the right-hand side of the Father. And this we know for truth, that he came from heaven and he went back to heaven. For that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. Listen, brothers and sisters. We are a new creation, and it's time that we live like that. It's time that we be what the Word of God says we are and start honoring that. Can I say that again? Start honoring that. You know what Jesus said over there in John 10:10? I'm glad you asked. He said, you want to know why I came up in here? He said, I came here that they may have life. And that they may have it more abundantly. the more of the God kind of light. That's why I came here, the spiritual part. Man, don't be worried about this fleshly stuff. People are, let me get a bigger house. And then you're going to get a bigger house. You're going to get a bigger car. You're going to get another car. But brothers, somebody got to start being concerned about your spirit, man.
Amen.
I don't know if you want to read that or not, but that's in John 10:10, Pastor. That's why Jesus came. That was his purpose. It is a new creation. Not probably. He is.
Praise God.
And the Bible says, if we've been planted together in his likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we're in that same likeness. That was John 10:10. Did you want to read that, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Okay. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Amen, amen.
And that's why he had to abolish that formal system, that going to church. He wanted you to be the church. That's that better life. You can practice being like Christ. Now, before you was practicing being like Moses' law and being like rituals and all this other stuff, but now you can practice truth, brothers and sisters. You don't have to operate like the institutions, because he did away with that.
Thank you, man.
And you know what's really is insane? God loves you just that much.
Thank you, man.
He loves you just that much. It didn't matter what you've done. He loved you just that much.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Yeah. And he said, if you love me, he said, you will. I'm not sure what the Bible says. Because he said, he that hears my words and believe in me that sent me have everlasting life. He came that he wants you to have this everlasting life, not just this life here on earth. He wants you to have everlasting life. And you shall not come into condemnation, but you will pass from life unto eternity. Can you imagine that?
Yes,
you're never going to die again. Don't go by what your mind, what your eyes say. You will never die again, if you can believe that. Well, what you going to do? You're in life, but you're going to pass from life to eternity. You ain't got to worry about death. You're going to pass from life to eternity.
Hallelujah.
Bible said you're going to pass. That means that's a non-stop.
Amen.
That's non-stop. You're going directly to heaven. You're going direct. You are not going to stop and collect $200. You're going straight to heaven.
All right, amen,
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, won't be no stopping here, baby. So don't worry about death. He's abolished that. He took care of it. And he did it for you and he did it for me.
Thank you.
Well, we thank Pastor for showing up, and hallelujah. And we know that God just so awesome and so blessed.
Yes, he is.
And y'all continue to just pray for Sister Roper, and definitely let's continue to pray the strength of Evangelist Sharon. Let her know we love her. Continue to pray for her. If nothing else, we'll see you all tomorrow. Wow, this week sure is going fast. Tomorrow is going to be Thankful Thursday.
Amen. Amen.
So, I'm just thankful. I could probably start right now. Because I went back and listened at that tape, and man, you got to really hear that thing. I'm so thankful that I was obedient enough to say what God say to say, and Sharon, pray. I mean, you got to hear it, man. Your spirit got to be there. I'm thankful that everything fell in place and God heard her prayer. And then we set up, Pastor, you and I, we set up and agreed with the prayer that God let peace and that no pain come to her dad. And then she told me something, I think it was on yesterday, that really blessed me. You know how, Pastor, you did some funerals, you know, how they take your hand and put your hand over your belly and they cross them on top of each other. She said, that's the way her dad's hands were.
Mm.
That tell me he had peace. Because he did. When the funeral home director put your hand on top of each other, that means you have peace. I know some masons and they got some other stuff, but I'm telling you, that means peace, brothers and sisters. So,
we're truly
thankful, and I'm thankful for that, for obedience. If nothing else, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon.
Mm-hmm.